Johnson than anyone, you know?
We're in the red zone now on Crossing the Goal. Our subject is courage, getting into the game, and we're going to let our coach, Danny Abramowitz, lead us into battle.
Guys, you know what I think one of the problems out here, and one of them, is they don't set the bar high enough. You know, I think the challenge to set the bar high, but you get that feel?
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of guys, Danny, are asking the question, feeling like my bar is plenty high now. Why should I set it higher? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get through life. I'm trying to make it. And the bar seems too high for me the way it is.
But wait a second. I mean, don't we all have a sense that we were made for something more, that we were made for greatness? I know I watch a movie, A Man for All Seasons or Braveheart, and I sit back and say, wow, that was a man. I could be a better man. It's important to see that if the bar's high, we may fail to hit it.
Yes.
But we'll never get over it. If we keep it down low, we're just going to live down to it.
Well, what is the bar, lifting the bar higher, for the average guy watching the show, what does it mean? What does it mean for you, Danny? Well, how'd you lift the bar up in your life?
Just take, for instance, my life, you know, my background, and when I got drafted by the Saints, really high, 17th round back in those days.
Did you wear helmets back then?
Leather. We had leather with
no face mask.
That's what happened to my nose.
It's the low number.
Teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got these store-bought teeth, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can remember going to coach and say, all I want is a fair chance. And he's all, okay, sort of fluffed me off. And then we went through the exhibition season. Finally, I got to knock on the door to bring my playbook that they were going to cut me. Well, I went down there without my playbook, and I said, Coach, you didn't give me a chance. He said, you're serious, aren't you? He said, I'm serious as I could be. He says, okay, go ahead. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. I walked outside. I said, that one worked. But no, I ended up playing in the next game and had a good game, and then I had a long eight-year career. So
all pro career.
No, that's a great example of refusing to quit, because most guys would have just said, all right, it's over. But we need to recognize that sometimes what appear to be roadblocks are just speed bumps, and we're just going to power through them.
And then the bar, that's the idea of the bar being set, you know, not way, way high without reason, you know, way out of sight. I'm talking about a lot of guys are just mediocrity. I'm just okay, don't leave me alone, that type of thing.
But there's not one guy sitting here, and there's not one guy watching who could say, I couldn't raise the bar a little more.
Exactly.
We all could push ourselves more than we do. And I think that's what the world's waiting for, is for men to wake up and strive for greatness at a higher level.
Here's a guy, I was thinking about a guy as you were talking about raising the bar and exercising courage, kind of getting into the game. There's a guy I met in Hungary, a young guy who started a business. And with two other guys, a greeting card business. He started during communist time. Very energetic guy. He took the pictures, created the whole thing. It was very successful. And then his other two partners decided they wanted to expand the business even further. And so they said, to get where we want to go, we need pornographic greeting cards. Huh. And we're going to do it. And this guy said, look, I'm not into that. We're not going to do it. And he goes, yeah, we are going to do it. So he went home. And he sat down with his wife and talked, and he began to pray. He sought the Lord about the whole thing. And he realized they had two votes, he had one. And if he disagreed, he's out, basically. You know. And he knew where the business was going to go. He had helped build the business right from the ground up. He went back to those guys and sat down, and he stood on principle, had the courage to say, look, I'm not going that way.
Yeah, so exactly. But what made him change? What was the difference between him and those other guys?
Well, first, I mean, he took his relationship with the Lord seriously. And he went home and he prayed and he said, Lord, I'm relying on you. I think for most of us, that story, that guy inspires me a lot. I just saw him a couple weeks ago when I was in Eastern Europe. And he inspires me because what he showed me was his strength was leaning into the Lord. And I think for a lot of us, we'd say, well, you know, I mean, the Lord doesn't want me to lose my business, you know. He doesn't want my family to be hungry, right? That kind of thing. So I'll just stay in it. I'm not going to be involved in the porn side, but I'll stay. That business has grown and made a lot of money. And he left before it made the kind of money that's making it now. But he doesn't regret it one bit. He said, the reason I could do it, he said, is I'm living to please the Lord.
No, that's so important to see, that we've got to recognize. A lot of us are tempted to say, well, what's the best business move? And we use exactly what you said, that, well, I got to provide for my family. That's what I'm here to do. Yes and no, there's a higher guide that we need to also conform our lives to. In fact, that's got to be number one in our lives. And then, and only then, can we say, all right, now what can I do to be effective? Our Lord himself said, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then these things will be added on to
it. Curtis, you're right. You know, your strength, you're talking about, well, how Curtis or... Peter, how do I get the strength? I don't know how to do this. This is bigger than me. It is bigger than you, but if you bring the Holy Spirit, I call him our personal trainer sort of in life, they give you the strength to deal with some of this stuff, and you'll be surprised. The courage to step out. You step out for the Lord. If you say, I want to do this, you can eventually, it's not going to be an easy road now. Let's not give false pretense here that everything's going to be easy just because you turn your life over to the Lord. It doesn't get easy. Many times it gets hard. But the satisfaction of that guy, how good does he feel about himself?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, he's going to feel really good about himself the day he meets the Lord.
Exactly. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what pulls us out. You know, I think some guys who might be listening are thinking, look, I can't even see the bar from where I'm sitting right now. You know what? I feel so low. I feel so down. I've failed in so many ways. I can't even see the bar or reach the bar. And I think one of the things we want to be able to communicate, I know from my own life, my own family story. You know, our whole family was dealing with alcoholism, my father, all this when we were young, and we just thought we were stuck in it. There was no change. His father was an alcoholic, his brother was an alcoholic, and we're stuck, and that's just the way it goes. We didn't have any way out until one of my sisters came home. She had really had a major conversion in her life, and she came home and sat down and said, you know what, number one, this family doesn't believe, number one. We're stuck in unbelief.
Right.
We don't even know how to surrender something to the Lord, but I'm telling you, she said, I was praying, and this is what the Lord, she's talking, my sister, you know, she says, and here's what the Lord was telling me, that he wants all of us to turn our hearts toward him and trust him to get us out of this impossible situation. It doesn't have to keep going generation to generation, right. But what you need to do is cling to him now. And we actually started saying, you know, Lord, we don't have much faith around here. We really don't. And we ask you to come in, Lord. We give you permission. Give this family a deeper life. Set us
and
free.
And I bet it changed your whole family.
Absolutely changed us all.
And
it radically did over time. It didn't happen overnight.
No, I know.
But you know what? We touched our brokenness. We saw the reality of it and realized, you know what? Christ is alive. He's active and he's changing lives. And it was the faith of one person imparting it to us. And we made a decision and gave him permission.
And the specifics change from family to family. But there's not a single family represented here or out in the viewing audience that isn't affected by some serious problem right now.
Right.
They feel trapped by whether it's finances or alcohol, whether it's a relationship struggle, a marriage that's crumbling, whatever it might be. There's something that's haunting. Raising teenagers. I mean, there's a lot of things that can put fear into us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sit back and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And to do exactly what your sister did, go to the Lord and say, help. And when we reach out for help, we begin to enter into the battle.
And then, you know what happens out here, too, is the world beats you down, the negative attitude, so much negative, beat down, instead of raise up. You need to change your attitude, a positive attitude, that you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I can.
You have to do it. The world's waiting for you to do it.
Exactly.
Your family's waiting for you to do it. We've got to be better men.
There's no doubt about it.
And you can't do it alone. You can't be a lone ranger. You got to find other guys who want to run with you, guys who can stand with you. The threefold cord is not easily broken, is what the Bible says. It's really true, and it's true in my life. There's a lot of times guys have held me up when I needed it.
Each of you guys is going to get a chance for the last word. We're going to push into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal, right after this quick timeout.